Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We're nearing the end of our exposition of Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 11, and Jesus' answer to our question. The question, well, a couple of questions folded into one. If one marriage is to last one lifetime, is divorce even an option? What does God think about divorce? God's command is for one marriage that lasts one lifetime, but if a marriage ends in divorce, can the divorcee marry again? Is marrying after divorce acceptable to God? Jesus has answered as follows. Divorce is not an option. Marriage is God's will. Divorce is not God's will. God never commands divorce. Therefore, can a divorcee marry again? God's answer is no. Marrying after divorce is not acceptable to God, with an exception. And this exception, as we have seen, according to Jesus, is when there is ongoing and unrepentant adultery in a marriage. Then the innocent spouse, the one not committing adultery, is free to divorce and to remarry. This is not because God has commanded divorce, but because God has permitted the divorce and remarriage in this specific case. And if you have been with us for this whole series, then I will remind you of what we already know. We have demonstrated biblically that a widow or widower is free to remarry. And an abandoned Christian spouse is also free to remarry since their spouse has deserted him or her, leaving the marriage. When taken together, then, we have three exceptions to God's overarching will that all marriages last one lifetime. Let's go back now to Matthew 19, verse 9, because there is something more we have to learn. I have two insights I must give to you. First, I want you to understand something about the sin of adultery. Did you know that two of God's Ten Commandments address adultery? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, God says, "You shall not commit adultery." And in Exodus 20, verse 17, God says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." But to covet is to yearn to possess what belongs to another. To covet your neighbor's wife is to want a wife that is not yours. At a minimum, anyone coveting someone else's spouse is committing adultery in the mind, if not by taking action on those adulterous thoughts. Two of only 10 commandments deal with adultery. That's serious. And then, do you know what the penalty for adultery was under God's Old Testament law? Adultery was punishable by death. We read about this in both Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 says, "If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death." And Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22 says, "If a man is found sleeping with a married woman, then both of them shall die, the man who slept with the woman and the woman, so you shall eliminate the evil from Israel." These references are Leviticus 20:10 and Deuteronomy 22:22. God gave the death penalty for adultery because he sees it for what it is, evil. Notice God says, "You shall eliminate the evil from Israel." Adultery is evil. Adultery is sin. Now, this has great impact on what we have learned about adultery in the Matthew 19 passage. Under Old Testament law, the adulterous spouse in Matthew 19, Bob in our case study, would have been executed. Whereas in Matthew 19, verse 9, Jesus instructs that the adulterous spouse be divorced. Now, there is quite a difference between death and divorce. Jesus is actually being gracious to the sinning spouse, the adulterer, when he gives permission for that adulterer's spouse to divorce him or her. The divorce will actually be the grace of God, because otherwise, it is death. And if God is being merciful to the adulterer, like Bob, should Beatrice divorce him? God being merciful because Bob is not executed, then why would God not be merciful to the innocent spouse, the one who is being repeatedly cheated on, as Beatrice was in our story? God will be gracious, and that is why he allows for the innocent spouse to eventually remarry after the divorce on biblical grounds. Well, think of it this way. When a spouse dies, the widow or widower is free to remarry. Well, if God still commanded death for adultery in the New Testament, then the adulterer would die freeing the innocent spouse, the widow or widower in a sense, to remarry. Furthermore, often the threat of divorce will cause an adulterous spouse to repent of their sin. Divorce gives cause for repentance. Like in our story of Bob and Beatrice, if Beatrice sincerely moves for divorce, might Bob genuinely repent of the adultery by never doing it again? And by proactively seeking the help he needs and the healing his marriage will need? Well, that's a possibility. So that when we understand the mind of God in the mouth of Christ, we come to see why divorce and remarriage, in the case of ongoing and unrepentant adultery, is permitted. That was my first insight. And here's my second. In Matthew 19, verse 9, I want to reiterate that Jesus is saying that in marriages where there is not ongoing and unrepentant adultery, divorce is not permitted. And if there is divorce, then remarriage is certainly not permitted. I do not want this to get lost in the previous day's discussion on adultery. Jesus says a lot in one verse. A lot. And we need to stay focused and make sure we understand him. He is God, and everything he says is truth, with a capital T. Here again is Matthew 19, verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. To simplify my insight, let's eliminate the phrase except for sexual immorality, since we have dealt in detail with what that means. I'll read the text again. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman, commits adultery. Ah, now that makes it quite clear. Where there is an illegitimate divorce and remarriage, what this does is to make adulterers out of both spouses in the remarriage. Why adultery? Because from God's perspective, those who enter the remarriage are still married to their original spouse, even if down here on earth, the divorce has been formalized. And if any of us are sharing a bed with anyone not our original spouse, then that is adultery. God's perspective contrasts with the human perspective of those who divorce on unbiblical grounds and remarry on unbiblical grounds. God calls them through Jesus adulterers. I like how pastor and Bible teacher John MacArthur puts this, quote, divorce that does not result from adultery results in adultery if there is remarriage. I'll quote him again. Divorce that does not result from adultery results in adultery if there is remarriage. This is true. Today, marriages are ending in divorce for all sorts of reasons. Often it has nothing to do with adultery. Well, this is sin, and this is unacceptable to God. And this has to stop, especially within Christian marriages, where believers ought to fall under the conviction of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. By the way, Jesus says the same thing elsewhere. For example, back in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Let me read that, Matthew 5, 31 through 32. "Now it was said, whoever sends his wife away is to give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." I hope that you see how committed God is to you and I having one lifetime marriages. Usually when I share my perspective on the question about divorce and remarriage from within the biblical text, I get negative feedback. Does what I am teaching suggest that if someone divorces for a reason or reasons outside of ongoing and unrepentant adultery, that that person should never remarry? Yes, that's exactly right. And I say that based on my study of the Bible. Well, you may have a different perspective, and if so, using the scripture, doing your own homework in the Bible, please share that with me. It may seem cruel to suggest that when a person divorces on unbiblical grounds, that a person must either reconcile with their spouse, return to the marriage, remarry your first spouse, or live single for the rest of their days. But I do not see it as cruel. I see it as being exactly what the Bible says. God takes one marriage for one lifetime so seriously that he will always see us as being married to our first spouse for as long as we live. And that, even if you and the court says you are officially divorced. The exceptions to God's will for one marriage that lasts one lifetime are clear in the scripture. And I'll say a little bit more about this tomorrow on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.